I guess I should just start. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for June 19th, 2015. It's the big E3 show, and I'm your host this week, AJ Minotti. Mike is probably on his way to the airport in Los Angeles right now, and I gotta go pick his sorry ass up later tonight. So I'm gonna do the show. So what we've got, I'm gonna go through the big three press conferences, and then I'm gonna hit up some just kind of interesting things from the show. I'm not gonna hit like everything in detail, because that would just take a long time. But I've got a couple voicemails that you guys submitted that we'll use in the show here. And then at the end, Mike called throughout the show with kind of reports of what he'd seen and done. So we'll play that at the end, too. And, yeah, we'll just kind of rock this out solo style. So we'll see how this goes. All right. So the first major event that started off was Microsoft. And they kicked things off with Halo 5 Guardians, which looks awesome. I am so excited for this game. I played the beta when they did at the end of last year. I thought it was great. They've taken the game and like the gameplay, I should say, and like it's a little more, people have said, Call of Duty-esque with like the scoping and things like that. But I think the additional maneuverability with the jetpack boosting, the climbing and everything was really fun. And what they showed of the single player looked really great. But honestly, I think the Warzone mode, which is like, it's kind of a weird Halo meets Titanfall meets MOBA kind of thing, I think that looks super rad. So I'm very excited for them to play that game. Comes out this year. Super excited. Then we got, and I'm of two minds. I hate announcements where it's just like a cinematic trailer. But if you're going to make one, make a good one. And this was for ReCore, which is an Xbox exclusive designed by Kaji Inafune and developed by the original developers of Metroid Prime. Like, you have my attention when you say that. So the trailer showed a young girl with like a robot dog companion. It seemed like one of the core mechanics of the game is going to involve around these robotic cores that you can swap into different robotic bodies. Like in the trailer, the dog sacrificed itself to save the girl from a horde of enemy robots. She takes the core, slaps in this big humanoid hulking thing, and he's like himself again. He's just in a different body. We don't know what it plays like. Is it a platformer? Is it a shooter? No idea. But based on the kind of world they established and the pedigree, I will be cautiously optimistic about this one. So we got into some kind of services and hardware announcements after that. And the big first one was Xbox One backwards compatibility to Xbox 360. So actually, before I kind of get into it, let me give the quick details. So basically, it comes out in the fall. But they're doing a limited run of games in the preview program right now. And I actually got on there and played Geometry Wars. And, you know, it works. It's your Xbox 360 game. It's playing perfectly. The 360 guide is still available. And it actually runs faster than it did before. In fact, from what I read, I haven't played Mass Effect yet. I installed it last night. Apparently, it actually runs better. Like, there's less pop-in. The loading times are faster. So that's good to hear. But Jay actually called in and had a couple questions about what I thought with backwards compatibility and how Microsoft needs to kind of handle it.
Hey, AJ. This is Jay Loretta calling in to ask you about the Xbox One's backwards compatibility. I think both you and I agree that it's a nice thing to have, but Consoleman quickly said that backwards compatibility really only matters the first 6 months of a console's life. So is this a case of too little, too late? Also, do you think that Microsoft perhaps runs into a marketing issue with trying to explain to current 360 owners which of their games will work on the One? I see an issue where a 360 owner upgrades to the Xbox One, they bring it home, finds out that all of their 360 games won't work on the One, and then feels deceived by Microsoft. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that as well. Thanks.
So to the first point, Jay, I think, like I'm of two minds of it too, because like yeah, this would have been great to have backwards compatibility at launch when you know maybe there weren't quite as many games to play and stuff like that. But I guess the counterpoint to that is the previous console cycle was so long, and there were a lot of games that came out that there's some that people haven't necessarily gotten even a chance to play yet. There's some that people never finished. Like I'm excited to go back and finish Red Dead maybe finally. And I, you know, I'd love to be able to just play Skyrim on my Xbox. And plus the fact that you're getting Twitch streaming, game DVR, screenshots, and all those features into these games, I think is kind of a compelling reason to go back. Like, I would enjoy, honestly, playing Skyrim, just taking screenshots of cool things I find. So, yeah, I drew a comparison on the tool for this group, but the way I think of it is, kind of in light of, like, there's a lot of remasters happening, and as people wondering, like, oh, like, they announced a Dishonored HD remaster version, so, like, why would they make Dishonored backwards compatible? Maybe they won't, who knows? But, like, you know, there are some games that, or some movies, rather, I should say, where I just still have my DVD and that's fine, but other movies I really like, I rebought on Blu-ray or digital or whatever. And, you know, I could see a similar situation coming about with this, where you know, you sometimes just want to go back, revisit something older. You're not too worried about how it looks. You just want to play it for a bit, especially with, I think, the library of Xbox Live Arcade games people have built up. To have all that just kind of show up in a menu, you click it, you download it, you play it, I see no problem with that. Now, as to marketing messaging, I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, you know, at the end of an Xbox One commercial, you know, it's like the fast-talking voice guy is going, Xbox One, now backwards compatible, select the Xbox 360 game, see you online for details. You know, I'm sure that's what they'll do. That's how they cover their ass. They you know, they told you to check. It's your fault. I don't think it'll be a huge problem. They have, like, voting going on right now for what games people want to see backwards compatible, and it's, you know, what you expect. It's Red Dead, it's Skyrim, it's BioShock, it's all the Call of Duty games. I don't think it'll be too big an issue. It sounds like they're pretty dedicated to it. They said when it launches in the fall, there will be, like, over 100 games, and they plan to release hundreds more at a time on a monthly basis. There's no real work to be done. It just needs to be relicensed for every game, so it's up to the publisher. So we'll see how that goes. After backwards compatibility, they announced an Elite controller, which has, like, modular parts and paddles and everything. Like, it's made from steel, looks really nice. It's $150. Kind of expensive, but kind of want one. I think it looks nice. I mean, hell, even when I told my wife about it, she's like, well, you should get one if you want it. I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do that. So, who knows, maybe I'll have one of these in October. I always wanted to try those controls with, like, the paddles in the back. I wonder if that actually helps or not. And I guess this is a way to find out. Let's see. We have Forza 6 coming. It's I'm excited because, I mean, strangely, I like Forza a lot. And Horizons 2 had some of this weather stuff that 6 has, but that game only ran at 30 frames per second. This one's 1080p, 60, full weather modeling. Like, you can hydroplane and all this nonsense. I think it looks really cool, so that's coming. We got Dark Souls 3 announced. That kind of leaked. No big surprise. Kind of cool to see that in Microsoft stage, I guess. And for the, what, third or fourth year in a row now, we saw The Division, which, you know, still looks cool. It's interesting they're calling it an action RPG. I would have called it more of a shooter. But they did announce an exclusive Xbox One beta coming this December. So, you know, actually get to play it. Rainbow Six Siege was announced. And you know, they said you're going to get the two 360 Rainbow Six Vegas games for free with purchase, which is, you know, I could see this being the thing now, like, buy it on Xbox and get the prequel for free. What's more compelling, though, is, like, it's one thing, like, if you know, when I buy Rainbow Six, I get these two other Rainbow Six games. Well, I'm not going to play them. What would be cool is if you pre-order the game and you get your code right then and there for the old game, said, like, you know, while you're waiting, play this. Like, that's cool. Maybe they'll figure that out. Who knows? We had a whole bunch of indie games. The highlights for me, Cuphead's definitely the biggest. I think that game looks really cool. Very excited for that to come out. I thought Tacoma from the guys who made Gone Home looks like it could be fun. Beyond Eyes, I thought, was just unique. You're playing from the perspective of a blind girl. So your kind of view of the world is very limited. I thought it was super interesting. So then they announced Xbox Game Preview, which is basically early access on Xbox. And I still don't care for early access. But what I do like is that you do get a free trial of every early access game. So you can decide, okay, let's make sure this isn't a complete broken piece of shit before I put money on it. So actually, I've downloaded Elite Dangerous, haven't gotten a chance to play it yet. So, I mean, this is, I guess this is the way games work now. So it's there. They debuted some Rise of the Tomb Raider gameplay. It looks awesome. I'm very excited for that. Glad that, I'm actually like strangely glad Uncharted is delayed because these don't have to compete. They also announced it's coming out the same day as Fallout 4, which, I mean, I'm sorry, Tomb Raider, I'm getting Fallout first if I have to pick one. Also, it's not in my lineup here. They did show Fallout at the stage. I forget when it was. It was similar to the demo they showed the night before. It looks incredible. I mean, Fallout 3 is one of my favorite games. It's a better looking Fallout with, it's like a little more BioWare-y presentation for the story, which I thought was interesting. But I'm really interested in like all this like building mechanic they have, where you're building towns and forts and things like that. Also, yeah, I pre-ordered the Pip-Boy edition. They are going to give you a Pip-Boy that you put your phone in, and it's a Pip-Boy, and it's like, it mirrors the game, it's like a second screen thing, but come on, that sounds awesome. Rare came out on stage. First, they had the Rare Collection, 30 games for $30. I mean, I'd pay that for, you know, Cameo alone almost, really, because I'm apparently the world's biggest Cameo fan. And also, RC Pro-Am. I love RC Pro-Am. I didn't even know Rare made that. So, you know, if you like any of those games, $30 is not a bad deal. So then they showed kind of, it's interesting because Rare's been, you know, the Kinect company for so long, and there wasn't even Kinect mentioned at this show. But they showed a brand new pirate themed Xbox One exclusive MMO called Sea of Thieves. Yes, yes, yes. Looks awesome, great style, it's pirates. I'm very excited for that. Fable Legends was shown. We kind of know everything about this. Free to play, Xbox One, cross-platform play with Windows 10. So, yes, play it. It's free. I think it looks cool. They very quickly, very briefly announced a partnership with Valve to bring VR stuff to Windows 10. This is after they also announced their partnership with Oculus. But you know what? Screw VR. I'm all about AR. Because they showed this really mind-blowing Microsoft HoloLens demo on stage, where they basically made a Minecraft game world appear on a table, and this guy was able to interact with it and affect things with his hand gestures, with his voice, while another person was playing the game on a Windows Surface Pro 3, because we're on brand here. I thought this looked amazing. Mike actually got to demo the HoloLens with like this Halo experience. You'll hear him talk about it more later in the show. But I should point out, every year Mike goes to E3, he'll text me stuff throughout the show. But I usually get one phone call. For example, one year my one phone call was after he tried the Nintendo 3DS. HoloLens was my one phone call this year. So that should tell you something. Mike's pretty jaded about this kind of stuff. So Let that sink in about how cool this could potentially be. The only thing I find a potential bummer about the whole thing is they apparently people complain about the field of view being very shallow, and Microsoft kind of said like it's not going to get much better than that. And I feel like that's a bummer because the second you turn your head and the holograms disappear, that's really going to take you out of it, I feel like. But still, I mean, it's also pie in the sky. Like, nothing we saw demoed for Halo or Minecraft may even come to be, but, like, you know, what can people do with HoloLens? I think there's a lot of potential there. I just, like, you know, this Halo thing, like, it needed the space it was in. It's not like you're going to do that in your living room. So we'll see. I'm hopeful. I think it could be really cool. Let's see. We had Gears of War Ultimate Edition. They announced a beta. I played the beta. It reminds me that I really don't like Gears multiplayer. I mean, it looks pretty. I just... Gears multiplayer, it's just guys rolling around with shotguns. I like the single player. I'd get it for that, so yeah. But then they showed Gears 4. It was dark. It was really dark. I couldn't see half what was going on. It was weird, too, because it was one of the more, like, moments in Gears where it's a lot more walking and talking than running and gunning. There was some shooting at the end, but it wasn't really like the kind of what you expect of Gears, like the typical cover-based, roadie running, dive rolling kind of experience. I mean, I'm sure that's there. Maybe it's just not ready to show yet. So that was kind of their end of their conference. But they did tease one other thing at the kind of after show. They're doing a new update to the UI, to which I say, thank you. Not so much because I have a problem with the UI. I really don't. But they're going to speed it up, which it desperately, desperately needs. So they're like, the snap's going to be on the left. The whole design's different. But the big thing, too, is going to be Cortana integration. So you can actually use voice commands to say, like, you know, Cortana, add Tolkoto to my party. And it just does it. You don't have to fumble through menus. Now, of course, and I wondered this, and it seems to be the case that it's going to still be a Kinect-only feature. I don't know why it can't just work through a headset. Especially now, like, honestly, who's buying Kinects? You don't need it anymore. They've barely pushed that, and, like, no current bundles include Kinect. Like, I don't understand that at all. Maybe it'll change, maybe it's wrong, but I hope they don't. Because if they want people to use that stuff, they really need to stop leaning on the Kinect. Okay, how is Microsoft? Sony had... They started off with The Last Guardian. It's still a game. I'm going to be the negative Nancy on this one. I don't know. I think it looks cool, like visually. But when I break down what actually happened in that gameplay, basically you made three jumps and you pushed a box and a log. I'm just worried the gameplay is not going to be there. Like, and that's all they had to show after 7 or 8 years of development. Like, I don't know. I'm worried about this game still. I don't think it looks any better or different than it did when it was supposedly on PS3. Like, I don't know. I'm not feeling it. I could be wrong. Maybe there's going to be areas in the game that are a little more open and you actually get to utilize the AI of the dog. But, like, it just felt scripted. Like, okay, I made this jump. Now dog's going to move here and whimper. And now I move this box and I'm going to jump and it's going to catch me. And, like, I don't know. I just thought it looked simple. I think that's it. I think it just looks simple. For as grandiose as it appears, I think it looks simple. Not simple, though. Horizon Zero Dawn. This is a new game from Guerrilla Games, the guys who have made Killzone, finally not making a Killzone game. Because their graphical prowess on Sony platforms has been really amazing. Killzone always felt like, you know, it was always positioned as the Halo killer, and I feel like it never got away from that. Like, you know, it couldn't, like, get away from that stigma, even when it wasn't trying to be a Halo killer anymore. So this is, like, primitive cavemen-looking people against robo-dinosaurs in what almost looks like a Monster Hunter sort of way. Anyway, I think this looks rad. I'm very excited to play it. There's a Hitman announced by Square Enix. I'm going to be honest, I didn't see this trailer. I missed it. I'm sure it's very Hitman-y. Media Molecule came out and showed Dreams. Again, everyone loves Media Molecule. Like, they go nuts for them. I appreciate what they do, but I gotta be honest. I've played all their games going back to Ragdoll Kung Fu. And they're all, like, neat for 5 minutes, and you're like, eh. Like, you know, Little Big Planet, I was content to watch what people made on YouTube. Tearaway, I thought everyone loved it. I got bored. I don't know, it's like doing the same little gimmicks over and over. And that's the way I kind of feel with this. Like, okay, there's going to be all these creation tools. I'll just watch what people put on YouTube. That's cool. I don't know if I necessarily am going to spend the time to, like, sculpt something and animate it. Again, it might be fun to play with for an hour. But, plus, man, could they be any more hyperbolic in the way they presented this. Like, they should have just called it Clay. Like, it's not Dreams. What does that mean? It means nothing. But then came No Man's Sky. Oh, No Man's Sky, I want to play you so bad. I mean, it's just, we're at the point with this game, like, just release it already, but still. Looks absolutely amazing. Destiny the Taken King was formally announced after it kind of leaked. Everything we kind of knew, $40 price. Three new subclasses, new story missions, new raid, new strikes. So yeah, you know, if you're playing Destiny, that's for you. If you're not playing Destiny, I don't know what to tell you. That's the thing. I feel like they're releasing these things almost so fast that, like, what's a new player to Destiny supposed to do? Because, like, okay, you buy the base game. Like, I wouldn't tell you to buy the first two expansions because, I mean, frankly, the content there isn't too terribly compelling. All the gear's outclassed. It's like a weird situation they've created. So, I don't know what I'm going to do. For some reason, I still want to like Destiny, even though I get mad at it so much. I actually played it last night. I played the House of Wolves for the first time, and it was improved in how they, like, actually have a quest giver who sends you out for story missions. Like, it was all recycled content, and this should be new content, thank God, finally. So, yeah, I mean, it's Destiny. You know what it is by now, if you like it or not. Assassin's Creed Syndicate next. We saw that the brother and sister characters are playable. Yeah, Assassin's Creed. They're getting exclusive DLC on the PlayStation 4. So, before this show started, I'm going to let Jeff Grubb tell you the story of a news piece they published on GamesBeat.
Hey guys, Jeff Grubb here, with GamesBeat. We just published that Final Fantasy scoop, and I'm nervous. So I'm calling right now because I want to see what happens. Because we just posted it, said it's true. And God damn it, let's find out, because I really hope it is, because I'm going to be really mad if it's not. But yeah, it's blowing up right now. We're pretty sure it's accurate. So yeah, we got two sources on it. So let's see what happens. We're not really rolling the dice because we do have those two sources, but man, it's just like, God, when you do something like this, you put it out there and you're the only one saying it with any sort of status. Like, you're putting a lot on the line, so... if they confirm it tonight at Sony, I will call back in and probably be hooting and hollering. So I'm looking forward to that. Talk to you guys later. Thanks. Bye.
And so they came out on stage and started talking about some game whose heritage started on the PlayStation. And after everyone asking for it for 20 years, we're getting the Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Whew. All right. So they actually announced it. Final Fantasy VII. That was a relief. We're sitting there in the theater, and they started talking about, well, you could kind of tell by the way they introduced it. Sean Layden or whoever did it was like, oh, it's a classic that made its name on the PlayStation 1. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're good to go. So that was a relief. But yeah, it's clear that to me that I think Sony had the best show. And by that, I mean very clearly show. Not necessarily they're going to have the best games or whatever. But yeah, kind of put a bunch of stuff out there that is not necessarily PlayStation exclusive, not necessarily going to, you know, destroy the universe because it's like just on PlayStation, but it was just a lot of good stuff. You know, they brought Shenmue out, not even a PlayStation game. They're like, hey, you guys should just pay for this, talking to customers. But that's smart stuff, and because of that, I think that they kind of won the day. So, yeah, cool. I'll call you guys probably back tomorrow, see if there's anything else to talk about.
So the remake's coming first to PlayStation 4. So I assume it's coming other platforms, too. I'll tell you what, though. This sounds like it's a long way away. They make it sound like they kind of just started working on it. So maybe 2017 we'll get to play this. Who knows? We had the indie game called Devolver. Kind of missed it. I'll be honest, I don't even remember seeing this. So this was, I think, the weirdest thing done at E3. It kind of rubs me the wrong way. So they come out... And they start talking Shenmue. Oh my God, Shenmue 3. Amazing. Like, people have been asking for this forever. That's great. We're starting our Kickstarter countdown with us. What? You're on the main stage at the biggest gaming show for one of the big three console publishers to launch a Kickstarter. No, that is not how this works. Okay, first of all, we know Shenmue's gonna... The original game cost $47 million. The $2 million that you set on Kickstarter is not funding the game. We also found out Sony is, like, financially helping it. Why is it our job to have to... Like, this is, like, even... Like, you know, usually they're like, oh, go pre-order now. This is even, like, pre-ordering to gauge interest. Like, literally, we're not gonna make this game unless you prove people are gonna pay for it, like, two, 3 years in advance? No! That's not the way this works. I don't know, just everything about it, like, yes, hooray, Shenmue 3, I'm glad people are going to get to play it. Frankly, I played the original Shenmue back in the day when it came out. I didn't actually like it. Am I allowed to say that? I thought it was kind of boring. I mean, it invented QTEs. We hate QTEs. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad it's getting made for people who want it. Like, I'm sure to them this is like me last year when they announced Grim Fandango Remastered. The fact that it was a Kickstarter. Like, why doesn't Sony just do this? You know it's... Come on. Was there ever really any doubt that it wasn't going to get funded in 24 hours? And this was weird. So, they, like, made a big show of Batman Arkham Knight, a game that comes out a week from now? And, I don't know, like, they kind of gave away a lot of content. I'm like, maybe I wanted to see that for the first time when I played it in a week on my Xbox. I just thought it was, like, odd. You know, you get promoted, it's coming out soon, sure, but, like, I don't know, I just... Really? That's what you showed? Okay. Cool. The game's good, apparently. Polygon gave it a 10, so that makes me excited. Now, they did the TV thing, which is funny. It used to be, oh, Microsoft TV, now it's Sony doing PlayStation View, so if you live in, like, one of four cities, you can use it, I guess? I think that's weird. I have my Sling TV, I'm happy. Call of Duty. Shown at Sony, they get the DLC exclusivity window now of 30 days. Kind of an interesting switch, but I guess Activision, you know, in part they're like, oh, they're, you know, a great partner on Destiny, and they basically said, like, this is where the momentum is. So just remember, everybody, Activision's your friend until they don't need you anymore and someone else is doing better than you. So think of that next time that, you know, you take them for ice cream. I don't know what I'm talking about. Black Ops Beta coming in August to PlayStation 4. Hey, alright. Then we got like a sizzle reel. And then we go to Star Wars mode. So first was a big showing of Disney Infinity 3.0 with the most enthusiastic video game developer I've ever seen in my life. That guy was so happy to be there. They showed the first trailer for the Rise Against the Empire playset, which I think looks super rad. But then came Battlefront. Now, keep in mind, at this point, we've already seen the first gameplay reveal of Battlefront at EA's event, which, again, I'll hit on that in a minute here. But this was the co-op mode they're releasing for the game. It's kind of like, kind of a horde mode, but, yeah, I guess it's horde mode. Let's call it what it is. So, two people surviving against waves and waves of Imperial troops. Oh my god, this game. This game. The EA reveal was... just multiplayer from the Hoth level showed, like, you know, piloting ships, ground combat. Everything about this game looks so good. And there are people who are like, meh, what's wrong with you? This should be everything we've ever wanted, especially if you want a Star Wars game. Like, people keep saying, like, oh, there's missing features from Battlefront 2. Look, unless you really wanted a campaign, and by campaign, I mean bot matches with some narration between them, I don't know what's missing. What, you can't pilot the AT-ATs? They walk in a straight line towards the shield generator. That's all they do. What, are you going to turn? No. You get to go in the head and shoot stuff. It's fine. I think this game looks absolutely stunning. I cannot wait for it. I want to fly X-Wings and go pew, 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 and it's going to be great. And so finally, after a bit of a technical snafu, Uncharted 4, A Thief's End. Oh my god, this game's gonna be so good! Are you kidding me? This is what I loved about this game. This is what I've always liked about Uncharted. So, the second half of the demo, they're in like a Jeep, and they're just like flying through the streets of this town trying to get to this tower. And throughout the whole thing, like, I mean, as far as I can tell, it's not linear. Like, they could have kept going, like, down the road, but they're taking all these sideways, but, like, everything had voice acting to it. And again, maybe this is like a vertical slice kind of thing, and, you know, they chose those routes for a reason. But just the way that the dialogue reacted, even like when the car would land hard and they'd grunt. It's the details like that that always made Uncharted so good. This game looks phenomenal. There's no reason not to think it's going to be the best game to come out in 2016 at this point. So I am super excited for that. Apparently they showed even more behind closed doors. I know Mike got to see that. So, yeah, this looks good. It looks really good. All right, finally, Nintendo had a digital event again. They did, like, a bunch of other things, too, but I'll just stick with kind of the main one because it's hard to keep track. So, Henson actually created Muppets of Iwata, Shiggy, and Reggie, so that was weird. But it led to the reveal of Star Fox Zero. It was teased last year. So you play kind of like Star Fox on your TV screen, but you have a first-person cockpit view in the gamepad, and you aim the reticule at the gamepad. I heard some mixed things about the control setup. Hopefully it works, because I really like Star Fox. I want to like this game, so we'll see how that goes. So then they made a weird Skylanders announcement. They're actually allowing some amiibo to work with Skylanders. But not all amiibo. And it's, I don't know. Skylanders. You could be Donkey Kong throwing barrels out of a car. I don't know. You know me and amiibo. I'm not a fan. Anyway, Zelda Triforce Heroes. Hot dog. Three-player co-op Zelda game with a blue, green, and red Link. Coincidentally, me and my brother's favorite colors are mine blue, Mike green, and Chris red. Hello, they may as well have called this The Legend of Minotti Zelda or something goofy like that. So yeah, we'll be getting this, we'll be playing it. I'm very excited. They announced a port of Hyrule Warriors Legends coming to 3DS. So that's, you know, it's got more Wind Waker stuff in it, so that's cool. This is, I don't know, Metroid Prime Federation Force. A Metroid game with no exploration, no scanning, and no Samus. What? It's like a co-op action-based shooter that has a UI that kind of looks like Metroid Prime. And they kept trying to, like, apologize for it and justify it. And, well, not apologize. They refused to apologize, actually. They're like, oh, once you play it, you'll see it plays like Metroid Prime. Like, I don't want something that plays like Metroid Prime. I want a Metroid game. I want Samus. I want exploration. I don't know. I don't deny maybe this will be fun. I feel like calling it Metroid Prime kind of puts an expectation that this game is, you know, very deliberately not going to meet. We'll see. It's got some weird soccer blast ball thing included with it, too. Whatever. Fire Emblem Fates, which is the U.S. name for Fire Emblem If, looks rad. Monolith showed some more Xenoblade Chronicles X, also looks rad. We got some Animal Crossing stuff. It's Animal Crossing. We saw Yoshi. Still looks adorable. Then they announced Mario Luigi Paper Jam. So it's weird. It's like, because they've always had like two concurrent Mario RPG series going on. I mean, really, there's three, but they don't acknowledge that one anymore. Sorry, Mike. There's never going to be Geno ever again. Get over it. Anyway, so this is like Mario Luigi from like the Mario Luigi games and Paper Mario. And the three of them are in a party together. It's kind of a weird blend of styles. So that's kind of neat. And then they showed a new Mario Tennis, Mario Tennis Ultra Smash. Looks like Mario Tennis. And then finally, and this, man, am I excited for it. Super Mario Maker, I think looks so rad. This is the creation game that I'll actually give a shit about and create stuff. And here's why. Part of the problem, especially like the Media Molecule stuff, it's like such a broad palette. Like, you don't know what to do or where to start. Like, you could make a first-person shooter, or you could recreate BioShock, or you can make Mario 1-1, or you could just create a calculator. Like, it's just like, it's almost too much. This game, you're making Mario levels. You have the Mario tool set, and you're making Mario levels. Guess what? I've played a lot of Mario games. I know what Mario levels look like. I could try to make one. Maybe I'll do that. And the least, I like playing Mario levels, so I could play Mario levels forever and ever. So yeah. I also think it's kind of funny because, like, it comes out on September 11th, and all the trailers say, like, 11th of September because, you know, September 11th. I feel like they should have just released it on a different day. So, yeah, no NX news. They said it wouldn't happen. And that was Nintendo's. So, real quick, just a few other highlights I wanted to hit up for myself personally. You know, we got teased the new Mass Effect Andromeda. Very excited for that. I love Mass Effect. Like, it's set in a whole different galaxy. So, they're going to, you know, set themselves apart. Unravel, which is this great-looking, like, platformer game with a little yarn dude coming from EA. I think it looks charming as hell. Very excited for that. Also, EA, do me a favor. Maybe, like, have two conferences. One for the sports shit that is boring, and then one for everything else. Because here's the thing, it doesn't matter if this is, like, the best Madden ever made, which you always say it is. Like, we know what Madden looks like. It doesn't really show well. And you don't need to talk to Pele on stage for 5 minutes. I mean, I respect what the man's done for the sport of football, but he doesn't speak English very well. It was boring. They kept, like, it wasn't like one chunk of sports. They kept, like, dropping stuff in between. Like, I don't know. Pick one. Mirror's Edge. Mirror's Edge is going to be rad. And here's what I'm excited about Mirror's Edge. They said there's just no guns in the game. No guns. The bad guys have guns, but you don't. That was my biggest problem with the original. I know Mike doesn't think it's as big a deal as everyone said it was, but they got rid of him. I think it's great. Gosh, I'm trying to remember. So Ubisoft, they announced a new Anno. I like Anno. This one's set in space. So, you know, that could be fun. They announced a new South Park, not being made by Obsidian, but it's like the same thing as the first game, except instead of being fantasy RPG, it's like superhero RPG. Still the show creators working on it. I think that'll look rad. We saw the new Dishonored a little bit. I think that could be really good. So, out of the E3, I think the things I'm most excited for, definitely Fallout 4. Super excited for Fallout 4. Like, cannot wait for Fallout 4. Very excited for Halo 5. Very excited for Mirror's Edge. Very excited for Uncharted. Overall, I think this may be one of the best E3s in the history of E3. There weren't a lot of boring press conferences. I mean, granted, I didn't watch Ubisoft's, and apparently that PC thing really was boring. Like, even Jeff Kanata didn't like it, and he was, like, the champion of that thing. So, but I think all the announcements on the whole were really solid, very exciting. All the games look great. I just thought it was, like, overall, just a great show. Like, there's a lot of good stuff. You know, everyone's like, oh, these new consoles don't have anything to play. They've got stuff to play. They've had stuff to play, but they're going to have even more. And I think it's just a super exciting time to you know, be playing video games. A lot of cool stuff coming out. The one other thing I want to mention. So the guys who make Elite Dangerous got a bunch of former Roller Coaster Tycoon developers. They're making a new game called Planet Coaster. It has the happiest trailer ever made. You should go watch it. It's a Lady Antebellum song of all things, but it's fun. I liked it. So yes, that was E3 from the point of view of someone sitting at home watching Twitch streams when his kids weren't crying. So I'm going to turn the show over to Mike. He's got a bunch of his thoughts on E3 and a series of recordings we'll play here. And I'll do that now.
Hey, it's Mike. I just got out of Sony's E3 press conference. Been a pretty long day, but a fun one. Started off at Microsoft. I thought they had a pretty good showing. A lot of kind of their non-game announcements were pretty cool, specifically the backwards compatibility coming out of nowhere. But, you know, other than that, it was, Halo's looking good. Tomb Raider's looking good. It was nice to see Gears 4. I thought that the Inafune game, Recore or whatever, that looks pretty cool. I wish we kind of could see some gameplay of it, but I thought they had a solid show. Yeah. EA was kind of highs and lows. All that sports stuff was driving me crazy. I mean, that soccer guy, I'm sure, is super important, but I don't know why we had to do, like, an E60, like, interview with him. But Mirror's Edge looks great. Star Wars Battlefront looks absolutely incredible. I'm really excited for that. And that that Yarn game, which I know Star Wars Yarn got unraveled or something like that, I think that's looking pretty good, too. Ubisoft was bad. I only liked the I mean, I'm glad they're making a new South Park game because I like the other one. But other than that, that was kind of painful. But I think Sony was the best. I don't know. I think a lot of that stuff just spoke to me. It was cool to finally see Last Guardian show up, the Final Fantasy VII remake is, you know, great. A lot of crowd-pleasing things. The Shenmue 3 also, like, who saw that coming? That was insane. And Uncharted just looks so, so good. I just cannot wait for that. And that other game. Jeff, what was the name of that game with the hunter with the red hair and all the robots?
Horizon.
That looks pretty sweet. The gorilla game. I'm excited for that. So I thought Sony had a pretty strong feeling. The only thing about them is, like, not very much of that stuff is coming out this year. So, you know, I mean, I guess you can take from that what you will. But other than that, the show itself was super fun. And it looks like 2016 is going to be really strong for Sony. So, yeah, that's what I went on today. Hope you guys are having fun over there, and I'll talk to you soon. Hello, it's Mike again. The show floor just closed up for the first day. I had a super fun day, actually. I started off, I had a little time to kill, so I saw Mighty No. 9 in the Square Enix booth of all things. But I got to play for a bit. Super fun. Very strong Mega Man feel, but the air dashing mechanic is a little different. I know there's been something kind of like that in the X series, but, like, the way you absorb enemies and stuff, it's cool. It's going to be cool for speedruns, too, because you can kind of do it infinitely. And, you know, you'll lose a little bit of verticality, but, you know, you can kind of dash about like crazy. But it was super, super fun. Looked super good. You know, really exciting. I got my interview with Tetsuya Nomura, Kingdom Hearts fame. I was in there with a couple other guys, somebody from Destructoid and someone from the Associated Press.
And it was funny, you know, we got to take turns asking him questions. So I talked to him about Kingdom Hearts 3. I wrote one story about that interview so far, about someone, you know, someone asked him about Star Wars, talked about how that was complicated. So that'll go up soon. I also talked to him a bit about the Final Fantasy VII remake. So very, very interesting interview. Super cool to meet him. As you guys know, I love Kingdom Hearts. And while I didn't know I was going to interview him until we got there. I suspected but wasn't sure. Didn't even know he was in L.A. So that was a very cool opportunity. So I was in the Nintendo booth for a while. I got to play pretty much everything they had. Everything looked, you know, super solid. Star Fox was really cool. I love that. There's like that walker mode that is in Star Fox 2. I just watched the video of Star Fox 2, you know, the canceled one for Super Nintendo. It's like the same thing. It's so cool that like they kind of brought that idea back. The kind of the way you control it, it's cool. It takes, you know, it takes a little bit of getting used to. I think once they kind of figure it out, it'll be great. The game looks really cool too. It definitely has a strong Star Fox 64 vibe. It's like the Star Fox 64 2 we never really got for whatever reason. So it's just super cool to see like a real like Star Fox game again, you know. Sci-Fi Fall Theater Show for Deus Ex. It looks cool. Not a whole lot to say. It's, you know, one thing I really liked was there wasn't really a boss at the end of this level. There's just like a final like conversation almost, and like maybe you can convince this guy to like go peacefully or quietly or not. And you know, it kind of like depends on your approach to the level. If you kind of took a silent approach and didn't kill a lot of people, he might be more cooperative with you and stuff like that. So that was super cool. So, yeah, a lot of cool stuff here. They want to play a little bit of Ratchet & Clank, not a whole lot, but it was fun. Got a busy day tomorrow, so, yeah, plenty more to talk about. You guys take it easy. I'll report back in soon.
Hey, it's Mike again. I'm about to walk into the convention center for the third and final day. Yesterday was really cool. I got to see HoloLens and Morpheus. The HoloLens thing was really neat. It was kind of like a Halo 5 theme thing. The cool thing about it was, like, before we played the game, we were in this, like, pre-briefing area that looked like we were on, like, a spaceport or something. And, you know, you put on the HoloLens and you look down a hallway and all of a sudden, like, a marker shows up to show you where to go, like in a video game. Look out a fake window, but in the HoloLens, the window opens and you see, like, a hangar down there. It's so cool. And then we got around a table and all this, you know, holographic stuff. There's, like, a Spartan briefing us. We got to see the map. Be able to kind of, like, lean in, turn, and look at it. It was really cool future stuff. I mean, it didn't really have anything to do with the game, but it was pretty cool. Morpheus was also amazing. The demo I got to play, I think it was called Wayward Sky or something. It was basically, like, a point-and-click adventure game. You kind of looked up, you know, you had, like, a kind of, like, a god view, and you sort of looked down. And instead of, like, pointing and clicking, you kind of looked and clicked. So there would be, like, a cursor, and it would move based on your gaze, and you can kind of move the character around, have her interact with things. It's just a really, really, really cool experience, especially because the game was very vertical. And on, you know, the most bottom part, it was just kind of going down, down, down into an abyss. And, you know, you would get like that feeling like, oh, no, I'm going to fall, you know? It was really, really neat stuff. But yeah, oh, that was really cool. I also saw Uncharted 4. Basically, it was a demo from E3, but kind of went on longer. And yeah, that looks incredible. Got to see Horizon. That looks great. That's that new Guerrilla game. It's sort of like Lara Croft with robot animals thing. Looks really neat. So yeah, having a good day. This is it, and I'll be back home soon. Guys, take it easy. Hey, Mike again. Just finished up the third day of E3. Really, the coolest thing I did was my EA booth tour. Got to play Mirror's Edge. Anyone who listens to the show knows that I love Mirror's Edge, and I've really been looking forward to the sequel. What I played was fantastic. It was very much, you know, it played like the original Mirror's Edge, but it had that open world thing going on. It was super cool. You can run around and do missions, and, you know, some of them were just like, go down this specific path and see how good your time is. And one was, you know, you have to drop off some intel, and there's enemies on the way. And one was, here's just like, you know, a high place, so the billboard, figure out how you're going to get up there. It was super cool, but even just running around and kind of finding paths through the open world and finding little hidden items here and there was super cool. So I'm really looking forward to that. Star Wars Battlefront was great. Just exactly what you would want from kind of a team-based Star Wars shooter. I got to play the Hoth level. I got to be in an AT-ST at one point. The AT-ATs, they're on a set path. Cause like the way the level works is that the objective is the AT-ATs are on their way to destroy the shield generator. And basically the Empire has to defend them and the Rebels are trying to take them down. But you can occasionally like go into the cockpit of one of the AT-ATs to control the head.
can call in airstrikes. You can shoot from the giant blasters on there. Super, super fun. Really liked it. Me and Jeff also played in Sony's booth. They had Battlefront, and it was kind of the co-op campaign, which was kind of wave-based, but it was really cool because Admiral Akbar would send you pods with power-ups and stuff like that. So you're taking down AT-STs with rocket launchers and doing all this cool stuff. So yeah, Battlefront was super cool. Might have been the most fun thing I played at the show, really. But yeah, that's the day. Super fun. Walking through the horrible streets of L.A., people are screaming at each other, as they always do. I will be home soon. Bye.
Okay, so that's what it's like to go to E3. You play games instead of looking at them. Why don't they just release these demos to download, even though they're time-limited? Come on. Anyway, that was E3. Super awesome year for it. I had a blast watching all the announcements. I thought everything, on the whole, looked really good. We got a lot of great stuff coming out for the rest of this year, 2016, and whatever gets delayed to 2017, which will probably be something. Early 2016 seems really crowded. I think they're going to have to delay a few things. So, yeah, that's it. Thank you for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can check more of us out at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, hell, Google Plus if you want to, even though I think they're like really close to shutting it down. You like the show? Go on iTunes, give us a review. That would really help us out, because, you know, reviews make the world go round. You can also, we're on Spreecast, we're on Spreaker, we're on Stitcher, we're all over the place. You can get the show all kinds of places. Review us. It'd be nice. Do it. Do it now. Do it. So yeah, you can tune in next week. Mike will be home. We'll have a regular episode, and we'll see you then right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye.